Now, you know, a great musician, a great athlete, or any great person in their profession is often related to the hours they spend practicing. How many play musical instruments? Raise your hand. Come on, let me see that hand. How many play sports? Raise your hand. Everybody in here, right? Alright. But you know, great players... Somebody turn one of those lights on. Okay. Great players, as you see, practice. And a good athlete or musician has to play for the love of their meat. You know, one of my boys, a couple of them, play, and you know, Sarah plays, and I'm only singling them out for one reason, because it's applicable. I don't know anybody else playing, I'm going to use my... But I know when they play, and if they're asked to play, and they want to pay my children, I say, oh, you're going to go play, and they say, yeah, we're going to get paid for this. I said, why don't you... I don't know, it don't matter to me. They're playing because they love music. People who play sports, they love... They're not looking at the prize or the money or recognition. You know, a good athlete, here it is. You can see that prize or the money is not important to them. It's not important. But what is important is this. A Christian's prayer should be its own reward. Prayer is not a magic formula to get things from God. We sang a song about humility. Brother, where is Mark? Mark, what was that song we sang about? Humble, what's it called? Humble thyself. You gotta forgive me, Mom. I got a terrible memory. Humble thyself. But you know, going to prayer, you gotta humble yourself. You and I gotta have less calluses on our meat. Oh no. Testing me, brother. You gotta have less calluses on your hands and more on your knees. Because when you're on your knees, what's happening? Can you get down on your knees and be prideful? Who's the author of pride? The author of pride is Satan. Now, when we go down on our knees and we petition the Lord, we're humble, putting ourselves down before the Lord.
You know, after this manner, the first verse says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Now, I wrote here, they were not permitted to say the name of God aloud, let alone refer to him as Father, in the Old Testament. But the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And he said, only those who receive Jesus, you got to receive Jesus. I told you that now. There may be some in here that don't know Jesus.
But those who know Jesus and believe on his name had the right to refer to God as our Father.
Our Father. Isn't that amazing? You just call us our Father. You know, my kids have an earthly father. You all have earthly fathers. And you see, I fail every day of my life. Every day of my life. Every day. My words, my thoughts, my actions. I fail miserably. But my Heavenly Father never fails. Never fails. But you see, when we address our Father, it makes us mindful of our relationship with Him. We put Him in His proper place. He is our Father. Our Heavenly Father. You see, hallowed be thy name. Holy. Let your name be holy on earth. Holy. Holy. You respect Him. You put Him in His proper place. And you never forget who He is. He's the one that loved you so much, that allowed you to be here, that allowed you to know His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. It was Him. It was God the Father that allowed His Son, His precious Son, to come here, to suffer, to die on the cross for you and I, and then to raise Him up. That's why you're here. Only because of His love. To make holier is to what? To separate from anything on earth, profane or sinful. God is holy. Do we have a lot of things in our lives that we got to check out and say, "Ooh, this doesn't belong in my suitcase. It don't belong in my home." Why? Do you have a reverential fear of God? You know what I mean by reverential fear? Who knows what reverential fear means? Come on. Well, somebody in this room got to know what reverential fear. Young or old, I'll take anybody at this point. Go ahead, brother. What does reverential fear mean? Yes, brother.
It means to fear lots of things.
It means to fear what?
Lots of things.
Lots of things? Okay. That's a head in the direction. We got the word fear. Anybody know what reverential fear means?
Fear of
Yes.
What, honey?
Scared of something? Okay. Fear and scared. What does reverential mean? Yes. Fear and reverence? Yeah.
To be humbled in the sight of the Lord.
Pardon me? To be humbled in the sight of the Lord. Humbled in the sight of the Lord? What did you just say? To respect? These are all the things. When we have a reverential fear, we realize that we're not scared of God. We love Him. We know that He's a righteous God, that He has God order in our life, and He accounts for everything that we do to be done in a certain way, His way. When you hallow the name of God, you give Him the honor He deserves. And heaven reminds us of the reverence that's due His name. We are going to heaven, those that are saved. You're saved, you're going to heaven. You got your ticket on the next train. If you don't know Jesus Christ, the train's going to come one day, and you're not going to be on that train. The Bible says only two ways. Hell, heaven. Accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, humbly. Then you have an entrance to speaking, talking. Where we don't say, how you doing, right? Many Americans have lost their sense of holiness and reverence by the informal approach to God. We have a reverential fear of the Lord. How we approach the Lord's Prayer is to set God in His rightful place in our lives. Right? And then God wants us to, we already said it, praise Him. John 4:23, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The Father wants you to worship Him. I've said that now a couple times. And God desires that we praise Him. Praise Him.
Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him at the noontime, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes down.
Amen. And He loves that. Now the next verse is, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come? You are inviting God to rule in your heart. When you know Thy kingdom come, you're inviting Him to rule in your heart. You're asking him to allow you to spread the gospel, or the gospel to be spread. But look at this. You're praying for the salvation of others. You know His kingdom is coming. And because of that, we should be active. You are asking for the return of Jesus to establish His kingdom here on earth. You know, Jesus rules in the hearts of those who accept Him. If you don't know Him, He's not in your heart. Pure and simple as that. Jesus is not in your heart if you don't know that He died for your sins. That you confess your sins and said, I need you to be my Savior. Now, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. You are asking God's will to be done in your life on earth as His will is done in heaven. You're asking God's will to be done in your life. Oh, no, you see, I don't want that. I want what I want. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did the Lord say? Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Can you say that? 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 Can you say, not my will, but Thy will be done? Guess what? You can't say that if you don't know Him. And if you know Him and you're not praying, don't expect Him to give you that. You have to have a relationship. Go back to that best friend. Close your eyes and think of your best friend. Oh, I love this friend. Okay, why was that best friend your best friend? Because you invested time. Because you got to cry with them. You got to laugh with them. You got to smell their dirty socks. You know everything about them. But you know something? When you do, you get to intimately know them. Now, you know, it says here, on earth as it is in heaven. God has a plan for you. Everyone in this room, God has a plan. You believe it?
Yes.
He does have a plan. Do I know what His plan is?
No.
I don't know. Do you right now know what it is?
Yes.